listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Now, our topic tonight is going to be on the law of participation. But, as always, before we're going to get into our abbreviated principles of belief. And, one, do no harm, do right. Two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And, of course, you can find out more about metaphysical humanism at metaphysicalhumanism.org.
Nice job, Michael. Sounded good.
Ah, thanks.
Again, to tell everybody that Dr. Kelly is taking the summer off of doing the program, but he's still fully active in the school, just taking a few things off his plate and taking a little break. And Michael and I are filling in. I think we're doing a kick-butt job, too, Michael.
Yeah. I'm going to go along with you on that.
Good job. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the law of participation. If you don't mind, I'm just going to lead this off, and we're just going to have a big discussion about it. How's that?
That's my favorite kind of conversation.
It is mine, too. Yeah, just a little secret, everybody. Michael and I don't necessarily prep for a lot of our shows. We're kind of talkative that way. So we do always manage to find... We do generally know what we're going to talk about.
We do. I write, you know, a couple ideas down. But a lot of times what I find is we'll have a discussion prior to us going live. And I think to myself, this would be a great thing to have broadcast over the air. This entire discussion is investigating what we're going to be talking about. And it's a great example of what we should be talking about.
A lot of the time we know we should save some of it for just going to air. So there we go. Well, the law of participation, it is, we have the one great law. And under that, think of an umbrella. We have earth law, natural law, spiritual law, and universal law. And those are the components under the one great law. But if we break these down again into... other compartments, if you will. One of the most important of the subtitles, again, if you will, is participation. And, of course, what does that mean, participation? It's about as we go through life, we have a responsibility to participate with life. Yes, we're going to talk about boundaries tonight. We're going to talk about when to mind our own business. That's really important. But equally, how to participate and when. Now, having, of course, every program, we read the nine principles of belief. And if you go through those nine principles, those are generally speaking, as I see it, good touchstones to know when and how we can gauge ourselves about the law of participation, such as do no harm, do right. So how does that play into daily life? Well, if you encounter something, let's say you encounter somebody in trouble, and maybe you're not somebody who's really good with crisis or stress, the law of participation asks that you call somebody who is good in crisis and stress. That's the law of participation. So you know your own strengths and weaknesses, know where, you know, who you are, and know where you can best serve. So it's not just somebody who's, let's say, in trouble. It's also about where we can be an asset, where we can have a conversation. Law of participation. If you're talking with somebody, have a conversation with them. The law of participation would say, don't look at the wall while you're talking to somebody over here, because you're not participating then. So from one extreme to the other, participating with each other and participating with life is to actually do that. Participate. Be a participant. Now, I not long ago had a conversation, and I might have mentioned this one last week, but a conversation with a young man who's new into a marriage, and she cooks, he doesn't, he does dishes. And I asked him if he participates, and I think that's actually what brought this on, this conversation, but participates with the decision-making of cooking. Well, no. See? And I said, well, participating, even in being helpful or decision-making, but always in a good way, is a preventative for stress later. And what I mean by that, because trust me, when somebody's making all the decisions about food, they burn out. That might take 5 years, but they do burn out. And then it's begrudgingly cooking, because now you're just being a servant instead of serving, which are very different energies. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, you know, it's participating in effective communication, in the give and take of not speaking too much and not listening too much. You're
exactly
having a participatory, interactive dialogue. And then both parties come away with more knowledge than they had before. That's it.
And people are then feeling heard. They're feeling interested. They're feeling interested in.
Valued.
And that's exactly valued. So that's participating. I have two daughters who married men who are very participatory. Participatory in housework and right down to when they got married, right down to details of napkins. Like, they were really interested. They were as invested in the ceremony as the usually women are. And one of my daughters, her husband does not cook. He said, look, you don't want to cook? No problem. I'll order pizza. And he's okay with that because he didn't cook. Trust me. He said, you don't want me to cook. And that's the way it is. So there's an acceptance, but it's participatory, and it's an understanding of, you know, how they participate. I have a son who had zero to do with his wedding. He didn't care what was decided, and he wasn't participating. Of course, I did kind of take that to task in making a statement, but it was an observation that, this is going to be an interesting dynamic. You see? Because you should be really invested into your life in that way. Now, maybe there are a lot of things you honestly don't care about, but to show interest and care about something is the law of participation. Because if it's your life also, then you have to participate in that. So you either participate or somebody's going to make those decisions for you. But also, what happens outside of you is you're affected by that. So anything out there affects you. What you do affects that. So how we interact, exchange, and communicate with one another absolutely has everything to do with the law of participation and how we're going to do that. Go ahead, Michael. I hear you thinking.
Well, you know, it makes me think we're talking about participation, and I also think maybe a residual of last week's topic of balance, but I think of what is the antithesis of that. That's apathy. And we've touched on it throughout our conversation so far, but yeah. Apathy is really something that seeps in, and it in a lot of ways, when it comes to a meaningful thing, apathy will destroy it. And yeah. Apathy will destroy on a micro level a relationship. It'll destroy, you know, maybe even yourself. If you're apathetic about your own care and you don't participate in your own health, that's dangerous. And then on a macro, higher level, apathy about your people, your society, the path that humanity is taking is a better way of saying that. Being apathetic about the path humanity is taking and not wanting to participate in that is dangerous, because you're ceding that choice to somebody else who, you know, they might not share perhaps a more balanced worldview. So you need to participate to make it the world we want to live in.
Well, two things come to mind when you're saying that. And the first one is not to confuse apathy with when to mind our own business.
Right.
Because, you know, there's that Dr. Kelly thing of don't do for others when they can and should do for themselves, and vice versa. Don't have others do for you what you can and do for yourself. That being said, we ought to help each other out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to confuse apathy with knowing when to step back and say, okay, that's not my call. That's not my business. I have to stay quiet and know that that's not for me. The other thing when you're talking about the, you know, the micro and the macro is about reality and how each of us does. And we were talking about this before the program. Each of us lives in our own reality, because some people know more about what's in the macro, mm-hmm. and then other people say, nah, that's not really happening. That's fake news. You know? And you say, okay. Now, consciousness would, and the understanding of energy and consciousness would say, you know, we've got to tip the scale a little bit to awareness. And I think that in my belief about the law of participation is very few people look beyond their micro, you know, their business, to know what's going on out there, to know what to change. And I think that is changing. You know, I mean, I think that more and more people on the planet are becoming more conscious. The question of believability, of course, mm-hmm. remains to be seen, of what people want to believe and what they do believe. But awareness is a great step toward the participation, and even if they're participating in the discussion.
I think it's a very wise thing to point out, because you definitely don't want to overstep bounds. And you alluded to it's about creating those moments. You had spoken earlier, if somebody is broken down on the side of the road and they need help and you don't have the skill set, you can find somebody that does. And in those moments, you're making a better world. You're making the kind of world that you'd like to live in. And
well, or even if you're afraid to stop, you can easily use your cell phone, if you have one, or
right.
the next pit stop, and call, you know, a local police or, you know, somebody else to say, hey, there's somebody stranded, but I was too nervous to stop. That's
right.
The law of participation. I know we live in a really fearful world. I appreciate when somebody sees me with a flat tire and would, you know, help me out with that. But I also know that I don't know who's going to stop. So, you know, I have that roadside service
mm-hmm.
and make sure my phone is charged. But we do hope that people are more helpful, like helping somebody across the street or you know, these things. But again, if you're nervous to do that, then reach out to somebody, because that's the law of participation. If mm-hmm. you can't do it, you have seen it, and you can't unsee or unknow something. And you then become responsible for the deed when you do nothing. So that would be my next part of what I want to get across about the law of participation. If you know something harmful is happening and you do nothing, you become the perpetrator, even inadvertently, because the law of participation demands that we bring attention to something to have it corrected. Okay, and who says what's right or wrong? Well, I mean, I think that we can safely say that things like abuse, child abuse for one, that there's a suspicion of something else is another. And even if it's a suspicion, make it a good suspicion, be really clear about that, and then call somebody, talk to a teacher, talk to a counselor, talk to somebody who is in a position to investigate or pursue it, not to cause harm, but to bring an improvement or, you know, get more information so that, you know, it's okay, we're going to investigate to know what's what here, because that could be helpful to somebody. So the law of participation says, you know, don't just discard information when we know of it, because we are the offender then. That's, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's right. Very true.
And we know about things in the world, and at least we can talk about it, keep bringing more attention to it. And we are participating. It's not to say we have to get our placards and go down there and stand in marches or protests. But if we can encourage the education and bring attention to something, we are participating in doing some small part. So that's on the macro scale.
Everything is intertwined. The macro intertwines with the micro, the personal, everything. Everything is interconnected. And, you know, it's those small actions that will build up into a bigger reaction in the world, a bigger effect in the world. Those, you know, doing right for people is an investment that will pay dividends throughout time into successive generations. And I was thinking to myself earlier that, you know, it's nice to discuss talking about, well, you know, if you feel nervous or afraid, that you can call somebody, which is definitely an excellent option, and it's a technological marvel that we have that as an option today.
Yeah.
But not very long ago it wasn't, and that made me think that really it's evidenced by our very existence that more of humanity is good than not, because we're still here and we've advanced this far and we've continued to thrive. It's good people do end up winning out. The old adage that the nice guy finishes last is just wrong. Nice people are the foundation of our civilization and our continued existence. And that's something to remember. And it is those people participating in small ways and in big ways that has shaped our species to what it is today. And it's participation that you see the best of humanity when some big things happen. You'll have natural disasters. You'll have human-made disasters, too. And the thing that is redeeming, that is inspiring, is that people will come together. They will come together in charity and aid to help their fellow human beings. And that is participation at its finest.
You know, one of the things, I'm going to just share this as an example, too. I'm sure many of you remember the event at Standing Rock and the people standing up against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. Well, since that event, of course, it really did create a wave of awareness, which is awesome. But right now, in that same territory, they have established one of the biggest solar panel communities that's across America. And they're setting an example. So in the law of participation, it doesn't say we're going to just oppose this. We're going to show you how it can be done to participate in another way, a better way, that's more environmentally friendly, and it still serves our community. It's brought that community together. There's a lot more healing activity, but they have established this huge, I mean, it's just huge, this solar-generated power source.
I was reading all about this earlier today. I'm so happy you brought this up.
Yeah.
It, another great and inspiring story, and the people coming together, the ingenuity, the resourcefulness, the innovation, and to be bold, that it was participation at its finest.
Absolutely. I know Dr. Edwards just saying, now that's being part of the solution. So that's just it. Here, first you have to participate. And even if you can't directly participate, find someone who can. You've done a small part in that regard. So you're going to find other things in your life that you can participate in otherwise. And in that, you can be part of solutions to problems, solutions to challenges or dilemmas. Sometimes they're really small, like giving an alternative way of thinking. It doesn't have to be the answer. It only needs to maybe get thinking going. have you thought about it this way, or what about that way? And they say, oh, you just gave me an idea. Well, I'm cool because I participated to generate new thinking that was outside of being stuck. I'm good with that. So, I mean, we find all kinds of ways, but to be a part of a solution-generated society again, looking for that ingenuity, is part of a way toward us all healing and continuing to improve. You know, not just with, oh, what's the latest in technology, but what's the latest in how we're remembering to be as a humanity. Because that's really what it's about. When we participate, we're acknowledging that we're all in this together, that we all have the same wants, desires. We all want food, shelter, clothing, and everybody has the same basic needs. Some people are greedier than others, want a little more, and that's okay, I get it. I'm not opposed to capitalism, but, you know, it's just, you know, some parts go to extremes. So how is it that we can help each other out?
Comes back to balance, all things in balance.
There you go.
The balance between the chaos, the balance between the order. And, you know, I'm going to throw out a couple of cliches because I love
cliches.
I was just going to say, I love me some good cliches. And one is a paraphrasing of Plato that the only thing required for evil to win is for good people to do nothing. I mean.
Oh, good one.
A classic. You can't go wrong. And that no person is an island. You know, we're talking about participating, interacting with one another, exchanging ideas. We're essentially, we've been passing around the same base ideas for millennia, from one generation to the next, from, you know, one culture to the next. Everything is influenced by everything else. It's all because of people interacting, exchanging ideas, building on them. It's a it's a cumulative effect. It's it has been what has led to human enlightenment that is, I think, spreading.
Oh, wow. You just said it all right there, Michael. I mean, that's really powerful.
All right. Well, that's a note to go on. That's our show. Good night.
But I do love a cliche also. No, it's true. That's how we continue to evolve. Think about how far we've come in 100 years. Mm-hmm. And actually, I did a post on Facebook the other day. It was about how we were even 40 or 50 years ago and the strides that we've made, even socially, and hopefully we continue to progress. But,
yes.
You know, whether it's, you know, 50 years ago, 45 years ago, if you were a single, unwed mother, your child would automatically be taken away from you by the state unless you had a full-time job and could support yourself, or you're living with your parents. Now imagine the power of the state having that. You know, that's the church and state were kind of in cahoots, and social services took over. And to think that something as critically important as that has changed. So we think about, we have evolved in these very basic, whether it's not that many years ago, women had no right to vote, no right to participate. We've improved in that, you know?
In the United States, we're approaching the 100th anniversary next year of women's suffrage.
Exactly.
And
it took another, it was 1929 before women had the right to vote in Canada.
Really?
The U.S. launched that suffragette movement, and it picked up into Canada. But our laws were a little differently. Emily Murphy is her name, with five other women, had to take it to the British Privy Court to be deemed persons under the law. Because prior to that, the only persons were white male landowners.
Yes.
So women could now participate. Now, the advantage was that they'd also pay tax. And that they would also have to get involved in this whole other thing.
Ironically, a lot of the major social advancements of the last couple centuries have usually come with the, but we're also going to be able to tax it. So,
Of course. It's only been a few decades that there's been some kind of retirement or social security program. We have made these advancements by which only occurred with people participating, and sometimes they had to push hard.
We don't want to obviously stray into, geopolitical things too heavily, but in the sense that if you happen to be one of the majority, especially of our church, that live in a representative government, that taxation and representation is part, your participation in your government. Yeah. So that is part of everything else.
Well,
but
again, we have made these strides. That's all my point is, and we continue to do that. And I know a lot of time we feel like we're going backwards in some regards, but I believe that will prevail there too.
I'm looking forward to a more balanced life in.
I'm glad you keep bringing that back. Yeah. No, that's very true, Michael. I'm glad you keep poking at that because it's absolutely true. It's to restore some semblance of balance, some semblance of order where there is no chaos. But it's going to take us to participate to do that.
Absolutely. And, I will say this. I've always been a person that I've been able to reach across the aisle, so to speak, in a lot of different ways and different scenarios, be it theological, be it political, be it just sports teams. I've always been able to find common ground with other people. It's just a knack I have. I always have been able to see people's humanity, usually, for better and worse. And it made me realize nobody wants, usually, a bad thing to happen.
I agree.
But we're all going to bring our best ideas to the table as across the board in every spectrum of our existence. We're just going to try to make this a better world in every way we can. From stopping on the, if you're out for, a walk or a bike ride or a drive and you see a passing person nodding or waving, if it's culturally acceptable at your locale, which, of course, it's different from place to place, but it's just those. And that's just an example of you telling another human being that you see them and that you respect them. And whatever that means in your culture, that is all you're trying to impart. That is participating in a better world. And then you can only go up from there. What else can we do?
So I would put out the challenge for people to ask themselves, how am I participating in my own life? How am I participating to share my life with whom am I sharing and where is my energy going that I'm participating in a good way. And sometimes we, you know, we all go through ebbs and tides of having to clean it up too. Don't throw away good energy, you know, and say, I want to participate in a more productive, proactive kind of world. And I have to challenge myself to continue to change and continue. Number one, ask myself how I don't want to be. And I don't want to be guilty of some things that I don't like. So how to move forward to participating. And so right at a fundamental self level, who am I, what am I, how am I participating with myself and my relationship with myself, how am I participating with my family, you know, my loved ones, my friends, and my community, and finding ways to at least step out there a little bit and that challenge of it. So, and Michaelis said, good timing, part of our discussion, participation, we're all going to participate in drawing inner oracle cards. So if you would like to put your name in the chat, please do. And Dr. Edward, of course, thanks for being here, Dr. Edward. Always good to see you. Oh, Dr. Jeff is up too. So let's get started, shall we, Michael? I hope you've all benefited a little bit from the conversation and helped.
Of course, I didn't intend to carry on the discussion too soon. If you had anything else you'd like to add.
Well, you know, Matt has just added something. Maybe we'd like to read it. Matt just wrote in the chat, the ability to judge one's own facility with a certain action or need and to properly judge the capacity of the others in that as well, in order to enlist their participation when needed, seems to be participation on not just a relational level, but on a spiritual collective consciousness level. I love that, Matt.
Akashic.
Well said. Yeah, and the Akashic level. Be aware as well to look for interaction and participation. He said, Dr. Vicky really expanded on this right after I started to think about it that way, and she brought out the heart of mandatory reporting on a moral level perfectly too regarding child abuse and such. My new favorite law. Thanks for saying that, Matt. That's off. But, you know, you brought up a really important point, Matt, and I wanted to come back to it in a minute when you say collective consciousness and the Akashic level, universal consciousness. So we're back to those laws, earth law, natural law, spiritual law, universal law, and all of that together is the one great law. So participating, it affects the universal energy, you know, to be awake.
Yeah, really good point.
And really, you're spiritually participating with yourself and participating spiritually with others. That was awesome. Thanks for that, Matt. That was great. And Dr. Edward thinks so, too. He just said, good post, Matt.
Well,
I love a cheering section.
And if I might also add eloquently, ditto.
Good one. Good one.
But
got to have some fun. Okay, Michael, do you want to pick a card for Dr. Edward, please?
I am always happy to pull a card for Dr. Edward. And tonight, well, I just pulled this randomly, but it's perfect because I've been on it like a broken record. Balance and order.
Good one.
With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present where it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue order once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Good message. I like it. Dr. Edward thinks so, too. He says, yes, that's a good card. I agree.
One of my favorites.
Dr. Jeff, good to see you here again tonight. Thanks for joining us. I drew number 20, deliberate intent, for you. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. So sometimes, you know, I want to add this. Sometimes we can't always know what something's going to look like in its manifestation. But if you look at it from another angle, you say, wow, that's just what I projected for. So that's good. Deliberate intent, that's for you, Dr. Jeff. Mm-hmm. We have Matt up next. Michael?
All right. And Matt, let's see. Continuity of life. Number 16. I don't know that we've pulled that one in a while.
I don't think so.
Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
I know, and sometimes it can feel like it sucks. But it's a good one.
Well,
it's true.
That's a good card. It really tied into what we'd been talking about this evening in the sense that participation, continuing on to successive generations, etc. But
I agree.
The next stage of life, however you choose to look at it. But yeah, good card.
Now, Sally, I'm just going to say Sally for short because it's Sally Ann's S or Sally Ann's. I'm going to say Sally. I hope you don't mind. I selected number 39, education, for you. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. I really like that card. It's a good one. So that's for you, Sally. I think Wendy is up next, Michael, if I have names written down properly.
Yeah. And Wendy, for you, I pulled number 11, awareness.
Boy, have we been talking about that, too.
They have a way of popping up. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
I like it. I think it's great. That one's for you, Wendy. Michael, can I ask a favor, please? Just select one for me. Would you mind?
Yeah, I guess. All right. And randomly,
it's been a long time.
It has. And I just to throw it out there, I usually randomly shuffle as we're kind of going through it, and I kind of think about it for a minute, and I try to pull one from the middle. And I'm doing that right now. And Dr. Hunter.
Yes.
Number 14, existential energy shift, new chapter.
I'm giggling. Go ahead, read it, Michael. It's great.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
I like that, that's for sure. You know what, it brings to mind, honestly, August 11th, there's three major events that are occurring simultaneously, and I'm going to read them out to you. I pulled them up here. Jupiter goes direct from April 10th to August 11th, Jupiter slowed down our dreams and brought up a series of unfortunate events, maybe. Uranus turns retrograde. From August 11th till January 10th, 2020, Uranus will show us the way to change ourselves and adapt to what's coming. But Mercury enters Leo. This will boost our self-confidence and help us express our true potential. It's the second greatest energy shift since the Black Moon, which was the new moon a couple of weeks ago. So this is planetary-wise quite a an energy shifting time. So you know, I'm excited. So when you say existential change, I'm good with that.
Well, you say it, and I've been thinking to myself that I've turned a corner recently. I'd been mentioning that before the broadcast too.
Yes,
and I think it's in the air. And I'm not going to lie, I had something in mind that was quite witty that I was going to say, but my cat's being adorable in the corner playing with a rubber band and it distracted me. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Michael. My cat usually jumps on my lap when the program starts. Tonight she sat up here on the desk and then said, and got down and went away.
I just had to make sure it wasn't anything I had to rescue, you know. Before.
We understand all about cats. Sally says the card was appropriate for her, and she's been absent from her studies and just decided to go back to it, trying to decide on her path. And I'm really happy with that card. Glad to hear that, Sally. You know, it's okay to take breaks. Sometimes life will get the best of us, and you know, we get distracted, we get preoccupied, and put it this way, sometimes things just have a priority, and studying isn't one of them, sad to say, but so you have to set up in your life what you can do. That's still the law of participation in action, I might add, but we do have to select. But I'm really glad to hear that you're back to your studies. And, you know, I'm going to say this again. IMHS is it's a heck of a program. Not only do you learn about what you want to learn about to the best of the school's ability to provide, but the bachelor's courses especially sets you up for basic life skills and self-examination. Mm-hmm. And that takes you the distance and really does help you participate with yourself. So that's part of why I'm saying that. Dr. Edward said he reminds me of this tonight reminds him of one of the topics in the advanced counseling course that I have available too. Thanks for saying that, Edward. We do like to practice what we preach, and we don't just like to say things for the sake of doing it. You know, we have the same challenges.
What good is that?
I know we have the same challenges as everybody else, but
yes,
doing our very best to rise into the best of ourselves. And
well, it's just like everything else. Well, yeah. And when I was reading it, I chuckled to myself only because I've been exactly where Sally's been in that sense of trying to decide my path. I've been there several times, continuously. Mm-hmm. You might argue that we're always on that path and to some degree, but when I think about especially the life skills that you can learn, they are so multifaceted. You can really apply it to so many different areas you can still think about that path and continue on that. And that's something that I myself have renewed a new endeavor to kind of increase my own level of study through a broad spectrum of things. But
you know, I don't remember a time in my life where I haven't studied metaphysics. And I don't mind telling you, I'm 64 in a couple of months. I started reading witchery books at age 9.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't know if we can associate any longer.
I know. But I was always interested, and I got my hypnosis certification by the time I was 21. And I wanted to know what it's about. What's life? What are people? You know, and psychology, sociology, and not just the mystical part about it, but our state of being, mind, consciousness. And that's not to say, though, I haven't done a lot of other things with my life. Metaphysics has been the constant. And there's no way around it. That's the way the mind works. Mine. But I've done other things, you know, other careers or things to earn money, feeding kids. And, you know, so what am I going to be when I grow up? Well, I'm still not grown up. There's always the next chapter of what we're going to do and how we apply ourselves to life. When I was 55, deciding to sign on to IMHS was a really pivotal moment. And I loved the presentation. We said a lot of the same things, just in a different way. Other terminologies that I went, hey, that's really cool. And then I got the PhD behind my name, which in this field of practice, there honestly is no credibility out in the world unless you have some little initials behind your name. And I liked it, and I appreciated that. So but I guess my point, though, too, is life will always be throwing new things in what you want to do. Oh, so yeah. You don't have to be one thing.
No,
I'm good, Michael.
That's absolutely the truth. And, well, I have to say, I have tremendously enjoyed our discussion this evening. I've enjoyed all of them, but I think we covered some very interesting topics. And I have to also give you credit that you said the name of our seventh planet in the least chuckle-inducing way I've ever heard. What was that again?
Uranus.
Thank you. Yes. Least chuckle-inducing I've ever heard. So thank you for that. That was a gift unto itself.
Well, I have to say it that way. Gotta have that.
But as always, thank you everyone for joining us. We're going to have a fascinating, exciting new topic next week, Wednesday evening, 9 Eastern Daylight Time. And until then, listen, think, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.